when they held the funeral for Winston Churchill, it was held in the great cathedral of St. Paul's in the heart of London. And at one point in that funeral service, January 30th, 1965, a trumpeter stood up over here and sounded taps, which roughly translated means the day is done, the day is done. Hardly had the notes died out until another trumpeter stood up and sounded reveille, which means a new day begins. Churchill was a great believer in the resurrection, believed that though this day of life had ended, that a new day would begin. We have endings and we have beginnings. This year is ending, but a new year will begin. And so it gives us pause to think. And so tonight I wanted us to talk about what does the future hold. And as we think about the future, we realize there are a lot of things that we cannot say. A noted physicist several years ago said, we live at the edge of mystery. As he thought about and talked about the development of nuclear weapons. And that is certainly true. We do not know what tomorrow holds. We do not know the destructive forces that may be unleashed upon mankind. And so all of that is very frightening in a way. And those are things that pass through our minds. The Apostle Paul in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 22, was at a point in his life when he said, and behold, now I go bound to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Inspiration did not give omniscience. And though Paul was an inspired man, he did not know what was going to happen to him when he went to Jerusalem. But he went out with faith in God, believing that he was doing the will of God. And you all know the rest of that story. One of the things that our Almighty God does for us is to graciously withhold the details of the future. Can you imagine what it would be like if we really knew every detail of the things that would befall us? I remember visiting with a young couple, I suppose they were in their late 30s, early 40s, and they were so proud of their 18-year-old son and spoke of him, and he had been a model young man and was doing so well, and they were so proud of him. About 2 or 3 months later, they called me. He had been killed in an automobile accident, and they asked me to do the funeral. And I remember thinking how gracious God is. They could not have had a single moment's peace or joy had they known what was going to happen. And so God graciously withholds from us the details of the future. And our purpose tonight is not to try to divine the future beyond what God has revealed. In fact, the Bible tells us that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, and the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may keep all the words of this law. And those who claim special powers to be able to divine the future are condemned. Necromancy, wizardry, familiar spirits, the witch, the enchanter, the observer of times, divination, all of those are warned against in the Old Testament, and they are still sinful. What then can we say to the question, what does the future hold? In the first place, there are some things that are certainties. We have sung about some of those tonight, as we have sung about being near to God who is unchanging. And the nature of God will not change, no matter what else happens. I know that our future holds a God who loves us, who gave his son to die for us. And the Bible reveals that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that the word of God will not change. Heaven and earth, Jesus said, will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And the book of Malachi, it is recorded concerning the Lord that I am the Lord, I change not. And so we may hold to God's unchanging hand, knowing that he will be there. and whatever else happens in our lives, whatever happens in society, whatever else befalls us, God is there, and His Word will endure forever. And so that is a very comforting thing, and there are those things then that are certainties that we can depend on. God's provisions for us are certain. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we can count on that. Every good thing God has provided, and He will continue to do that. We need not worry that God will suddenly cease to bless us and to provide for us. But on the human side, there are some uncertainties. There are things that we do not know. We do not know, for example, the length of our lives. What is your life, James says? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. And so we don't know how long we're going to live. It may be that 2014 will be the date that will be inscribed on our tombstone. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And the Bible tells us over in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8, that there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. And so the Bible teaches us that when that time comes, that we will not be able to stop it. We will not be able to seize another inch of time when that time comes. And it may be that 2014 will be the year when Christ returns, and when judgment comes, and we're taught that of that day and hour knoweth no man, and not even the angels of God are privy to that, but the Father only. And so we do not know. Here are many things that we do not know. What then can we say to the question of what does the future hold? I read the story many years ago of an Indian chief who was being challenged by a young brave who sought to embarrass him and perhaps become chief himself. And so before the men of the tribe, in a very public way, he said, "Great chief, you are so wise. I have a little bird in my hand, in my hands. Is this bird alive or dead?" His plan was to embarrass the chief, and so had the chief said the bird is dead, he would have opened his hands and the chief would have been proven wrong as the bird flew away. Or if he said the bird is alive, he would simply crush that little bird and there the bird would be dead. Either way, the chief would be shown to not be able to have the answer. And so with a little bit of thought, the chief replied, "The answer is in your hands." And so the thought I want to leave with you tonight is that while there are those certainties, while there are those uncertainties, that much of what the future holds is in our hands. And for the next few minutes, I want to look at an acrostic, and the idea being that what we are doing with today determines our future. In the first place, our future is going to be determined by what we're training for. That is certainly true educationally and vocationally. Many of you are engaged in that. You are students. And that training will affect your future. Your future will be determined in large measure by what you are trained to do. Glad to have my great nephew with us tonight. He is almost finished with his PhD, and he's in training. He's preparing for his career, Caleb Colley. I hope you get to meet him. And many of you are in training and on your jobs. There are continuing education units, and there are courses that you take, and there are skill levels that you achieve. All of that training is designed to help you in the future. But that is also true spiritually. We are training ourselves and our attitudes and our skills and worship. We are training for what we will be in the future. And our training determines what our future will be. Jesus talked in the 6th chapter of Luke about a man who built a house, who digged deep and laid the foundation thereon. When we lay a good foundation, then that helps us in the future. Other foundation can no man lay, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let every man, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, take heed how he buildeth thereon. But you know, we train our hearts. We train ourselves to feel and to think certain ways. And that training determines what our future will be. For with the heart, Paul wrote, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we actually train ourselves to believe. We believe, and we believe some more. And the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And so we are constantly training ourselves for greater service if we lend ourselves to the great teacher. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Paul prayed that for those brethren, and he prayed that the Lord would come to dwell more and more in them. And so that heart trained to accept and believe and walk in the will of God would be a good spiritual preparation for tomorrow. In the 11th chapter of Acts, verse 23, the good man Barnabas came to Antioch and taught the people that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. And so he was a powerful exhorter. He was one who would help others to be closer to God. We've sung Nearer, Still Nearer, and what a wonderful sentiment for us to express one to another that we want to be nearer and nearer to the Lord. And so we train ourselves spiritually. We train ourselves to be closer to God in our service to Him. But on the other hand, in a negative way, we may foolishly train ourselves for failure. We may develop habits of negative thinking. We may do those things and think those things that set us up for failure in the future. The wise man in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 26, verse 27, said, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. And he is emphasizing the great principle that as we try to hurt other people, we are hurt in the process. And if in your heart and mind there is bitterness, there is the desire to take vengeance, there is the desire to hurt others, we are hurt, perhaps greater than the one that we wish to hurt. And so we can train ourselves for failure. To end up right, we have to start out right. And one can train himself so that he or she is never satisfied. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. One can become so dissatisfied with what they have that they're never satisfied. It is never enough. They're like the man who only wanted the property that joined him. If he could just have the property that adjoined his farm, there's no end to that. And we can train ourselves to be constantly wanting and dissatisfied with the blessings of God. And so I suggest to you, first of all, that our tomorrow depends, our future depends upon today. What are we training ourselves today as far as our future is concerned? The O in this acrostic stands for our outlook. One's outlook determines his future. How we look at things, our basic attitude throughout the Bible talks about that and reveals to us in so many characters those who had a good outlook and those who had a bad and negative outlook. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. And so in our hearts, we can develop an outlook that will cause success or failure. And every young person, and older people too, need to develop a good outlook, a good attitude. I remember reading the story, this is a chimney corner scripture, about an elderly lady who was so cheerful, and she had had all kinds of sicknesses and problems in her family for many years, but was so cheerful. And she was asked what was her secret. And she said, "I just remember that blessed old passage that says, grin and bear it." Well, that's not in the Bible, but it's a pretty good outlook. And our outlook determines our future. And so what you're doing today, in large measure, determines what your tomorrow will be. A man doesn't rise above his thinking. This isn't grammatical, but there's a statement, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and a man's brain is only as strong as his weakest think. And that is true. What we think about, what we concentrate on, is that which colors our outlook and will affect our tomorrow. That is one of the great dangers of pornography. If you fill your mind with that filth, if you think no one knows, God knows, and it will affect you. It will affect your tomorrow. It will affect your future if that is a part of your life today. Paul wrote in a passage very familiar to you in Philippians chapter 4, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." We choose what we think about. I know that in times of crisis and emergencies right before us, there are those things we have to think about. But a lot of our thought time is of our own choosing. And what we think about helps to determine what our future is. Paul made an amazing statement in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. As he said, that we are to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Capture our thoughts. To say, I am going to concentrate on these things. These are the things that will help me spiritually. These are the things that will help me to be a better man or a better woman. And so our outlook in large measure determines our future. Our dedication determines our future. And the Bible asks a lot of interesting questions, and I will take these four that I'm going to mention, perhaps out of context, and yet they, in and of themselves, are very good questions to help us determine that to which we are dedicated. One of those, found in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10, was asked of David when he was a fugitive. And the question was, where have you made a road today? In other words, where have you been today? That is a very good question. And it is not so much what we have done in the past, what we plan to do in the future, but what am I doing now? What road have I traveled today? Have I worshiped? Have I talked to God? Have my intentions been good? Have my actions been good? Have my words been kind and helpful to others? Where have you made a road today? A second question, also over in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 13, to whom do you belong? The question was asked of an individual who had done a terrible deed, and the person who was inquiring wanted to know to whom this person belonged. And that is a very good question that helps us to determine that to which we are dedicated. Do we belong to the Lord? Do we belong to his people? Do we belong to a local congregation? Do we belong in a group of people who are active and diligent in the service of God? To whom do you belong? That helps us to see our dedication. Are you also one of his disciples? John 18, verse 25. Are we a learner and follower of the Master? He is the Master teacher, and we must walk in his steps, and he will lead us in the right way. And so, are we one of his disciples? Are we learning and following Jesus? And the fourth question, what is your life? And that, of course, is a philosophical question in a way, but ask in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 14, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so, what's my life? What's it like now? Do I need to make changes in my life? And so all of those questions will help us to determine that to which we are dedicated. A in today stands for aspirations. To what do you aspire? What are our purposes in life? What we aspire to today will determine what our future will be. You remember Daniel? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And I will tell you that that purpose, that aspiration that he had, served him so well. It helped him through very difficult times. It is directly responsible, I believe, for those levels of trust in the government to which he achieved. He was able to do that because he was determined, he purposed in his heart that he would follow the Lord's will. Paul was like that, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, as he said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press on toward the mark of the call, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm pressing on and I'm trying to put behind, he could have driven himself into distraction, thinking about what his life had been in the past and how he had been a persecutor, an injurious, a blasphemer, one who sought to do anything he could contrary to the name of Jesus. But he said, I put those things behind me, forgetting. He didn't mean that he couldn't remember them. He remembers them in this very statement. But he says, I put them behind me, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what we aspire, what our purposes are, not that we will always achieve them perfectly, not that we will not fall and have to be forgiven and try again and ask God for more strength, but we need to have noble aspirations. We need to have purpose in our heart. You have all heard the story of the musician who gave a performance and the crowd cheered wildly. And he noticed, though, one individual who did not. And he began to weep. And his friend said, why are you weeping? Everybody loved your performance. And he said, well, there was that. And they said, what is one man? And he said, that man was my teacher. Whom do you aspire to please? You can please a lot of people. You might please your co-workers. You might please family members. But who is the one that you aspire to please? Do you aspire to please God above everyone else? And that even if the cheering world does not follow your lead, are you willing to only please God, and if necessary, to walk alone? The Bible teaches us the great power of noble aspiration. What is a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Finally, the word today, the Y, stands for yielding. That to which you and I yield determines our future. We are shaped by many currents and many events and many pressures that are brought to bear on us every day. And we are in the world and we cannot escape that. But what we choose to yield to determines our character and the course of our lives to a very large degree. Paul said, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourself as servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered unto you, and being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness." Here were people who had lived one way, and now they're living another way. They had yielded to the pressures of society, but now they're yielding to God. They have given themselves in service to Him who is able to remake and reshape their lives according to His will. And so we are to be, in the words of the song, yielding and still. We are to let God, through His mighty will, shape us and mold us and make us fit for heaven after a while. And so, to whom do you yield? In the 6th chapter of Romans, again, verse 13, yield yourselves unto God. And in verse 19, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. And so that to which we yield determines our tomorrow. And so I submit to you tonight that today determines tomorrow. What you and I are doing with our today determines in large measure what the future holds. What about you? Are you in a position to answer this question? What does your future hold? The course that you are now on, where will it lead? Are you in rebellion against God? Have you believed and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and yielded to the gentle influences of one who loves you more than you love yourself? Have you yielded in service to God? And then have you been faithful to that commitment that you have made? Do you need to make a new beginning? God is willing and ready to forgive, and He will forgive if you will humbly submit and through repentance, confession, and prayer make those things right that are now amiss in your life. I encourage you to think on these things and to realize that what you're doing today with your today will help you to answer the question of what does the future hold. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. I encourage you to think and to put your hand in the hand of the Almighty One, Maker of heaven and earth, who is able to take you and mold you and shape you and to make us fit finally for heaven after a while. If you're subject tonight, we encourage you to obey as we stand and sing together.